This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by OtterBox. Save up to 40% when you shop popular iPhone and Samsung Galaxy cases at OtterBox.com. Hurry, these savings won't last long. Visit voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox today. That's voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. Welcome to the KMP Show, episode number 12. I am your host, John Playtech.
Cork.
And with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Craich.
Everybody has affinity for cock.
Boom. How's it going? We got a shorty today. We got some scheduling stuff. We got to get to a bunch of stuff. It is going to be an extend or release.
Oh, nice.
Episode.
That's long.
An extend or release?
Unless we release it, then it's not long.
Unless we release it. Yeah.
I think we're going to extend this extend or release show, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, cool. I got it.
Good, good.
But Rich, before we jump into it, I had a quick question, just some banter to get out of the way. I was playing MLB The Show.
Okay.
With baseball season upon us, nice weather in the Chicagoland area.
Great.
Sitting with the window open, playing MLB The Show, trying to create an Asian guy in Road to the Show. Have you been able to do that? Like, make him look Asian?
No.
Okay. All right. Woo!
They're like, you can, in very, like, racial ways, you can make him, like, this weird color that's not, like, it's, like, this odd. You're like, they were like, we gotta put, like, an Asian shade in there. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
They're not yellow.
Yeah, it's like he's got kind of like a weird, because I did that. That was the first thing I wanted to do. I made him like he's got like the two-handed swing with the sweet follow through, because that's awesome. And like, I love that. Yeah. And like, they're like weird, and like I just put sunglasses on him and give him like a sweet beard and stuff, and I just go whatever. Like the name is enough for me to know.
Right.
That when they come out and I like searched through it.
Yamashita Yokohama.
Yeah, it was like it was an exhaustive search to go through all the names and figure out which ones they could say properly and do it. So that I take more solace in that than actually looking, because it's pretty hard to make them.
Because I was like, wait a minute. Like, is it racist for me to create a Japanese guy that's got like round eyes? I wanted to. And here's the thing. Are we racist or not? I mean, which is it? Because give me the ability
Yes, me no.
Okay.
I think that's usually the pretty good, I don't know.
That's the good benchmark. But like, but here's the thing, because they probably had that in and it was probably taken out at a meeting, like, that's because that's
like
racist.
Right, there's like this big long thing of like, all right, we have default like black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Japanese, but they're like, but like not every Japanese guy looks like that. Like maybe you're American born in Japan. And like, what do you, I guarantee you, that was like a long meeting that they had. They're like, we got to take the eyes out. They're too, it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Some Asian people look like that. Others don't.
Yeah.
But some do, and it's not racist to want to. All right.
All I'm glad is that they have the sweet last names.
Yes.
And that's so I get like, and they're the set longest, properly. The longest name possible. Like, whatever the longest first name is. And
Yeah, that's your game.
And then it was like, and then it takes like a minute and a half for them to announce it, and then it comes out with some like terrible hip hop music.
I was to the
and
point.
Slaps a double and calls it a day. So.
Yeah. Well, my guy's 6'5 and he hits home runs, because that's what my Japanese player is like.
Yeah.
I was doing play by play. I was playing and I was doing the play by play to myself.
Is it recorded or no?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking, I was like, would people watch it? Because I was like,
I think they would.
I was like, all right, Yamashita steps in, top two, runner on first and second, nobody out. Two across in the inning so far. The wind, the kick, and the 0-0 to Yamashita. Ball one outside.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, I didn't want to get too euchre-ish with it or too, like, who's the guy that does Cubs games?
Radio or TV?
Radio.
I'm blanking on his name. Why am I blanking on his name? I should know his name. Pat Hughes.
Yeah. Big Cub fan. He's got that like really big voice. But it was just like kind of droning.
Tom Brunneman.
Right. And I wanted to do it. And I was like, you know what? If I cranked the atmospheric noise in the game, killed the commentary, like.
It's an interesting, I don't know.
Anyway, an extended release for you today here on the KMP Show. We've got a bunch of topics, short little stuff that we want to get to in a segment that we tried out a couple episodes ago and we decided to bring back for this episode. We'll see if you like it. This is called Extend or Release. Rich and I decide whether to extend a topic, like sign it, and we say, yes, this is good, we want to keep you around, or we release you like an NFL contract and we say, goodbye, get the hell out of here, you suck.
And we owe you nothing.
And we owe you absolutely nothing, because
thank you for killing yourself for us.
Thank you, yes, for the 6 weeks, the six games, the two concussions, undiagnosed. Now goodbye.
And now you have the brain of a 75-year-old, even though you're 28. So
enjoy your $12,000 game checks, even though your contract said $2.5 million. Right. That's the NFL for you. We've got a few things to get to today. First up, Rich, We talked about it episode 2, I want to say. I'm jumping around all through the run sheet. So this is episode 2. Deemed illegal in Texas, FanDuel to pull out of the state. It'll be the first time anybody's pulled out in Texas. Let me tell you. Hey, hey. I need the crusty.
Yeah, that's one for the future. Yeah, add the crusty
one. I will add crusty. There will be the crusty. Yeah. Hey, hey.
Every time we make a horrible joke.
that button will get a lot of usage.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this episode, too, in FanDuel DraftKings being illegal. FanDuel has reached a settlement with the state of Texas to wind down its operations and suspend its paid contests there after the state's attorney general determined in January that the company was running an illegal gambling business. The company announced in the agreement Friday, the latest blow to the beleaguered daily fantasy sports industry as it continues to fight for survival from New York to Hawaii. Effective May 1st, Texas becomes the 9th state in which FanDuel will not offer its paid contests because of state gambling laws, not including New York and Illinois, where it continues to operate while it fights for its survival in court. The New York-based company said it will push for legislation in Texas next year that will allow the company to return. This is later in the article. It says DraftKings, FanDuel's chief rival, took a different approach and is suing Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton in its quest to stay alive there. In its suit, DraftKings states that FanDuel's agreement with Texas, quote, evidences the Attorney General's intent to scuttle daily fantasy sports operators in the state of Texas and illustrates the imminent harm that DraftKings could itself face without this court's intervention. Rich, are you extending or releasing a few things? One, okay. The survival eventually in some form, whether it's in time for big time NFL football this year or the year after 2017, are you extending or releasing the life of daily fantasy sports in their pay contests?
I'm going to release it.
You think they're done completely?
I think they are.
Really?
I do.
You know,
I don't agree with it.
Right.
Because I don't care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. If some way they can become legitimized, and gambling in this country is a weird, weird, weird thing. Like we deal with it all the time in Illinois or whatever, where we want casinos and then like.
But play the lottery, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But please do every day play the lottery.
And then there's off-track betting places.
Which is fine. But then they can't have like machines at the horse tracks, and the horse tracks are like, hey, you know, we'd make a lot of money. It wouldn't close, you know, if we could have this or whatever. No. You can have this gambling, but not that gambling, and not that.
Right.
It's just a weird phobia that we have. Even though this country was built on like the lottery. I mean, like George Washington, like
they created a lottery very quickly.
Right, like right away. They were like
gambling.
We need some money,
but money right away. It's an informal tax.
I don't gamble, so I don't really give a shit. Yeah. Like if people want to put money into a big system that spits out money, I don't care. I don't gamble. It doesn't bother me at all. So I don't really care that they're around or that they operate. It never was a problem for me. I get that, like, some people are thinking they're skirting things. Maybe if you legitimize, you know, put them within all these other gambling ideas. But there's a whole, I mean, this entire country needs to have an idea of, like, what the hell is our stance on gambling? Because it changes so much. So I don't think they're going to survive this. Maybe not in this form. Mm-hmm. That they might have to go away for a while. That a new one might emerge or something might happen. I don't think they're going
to
survive.
Like, forced to the back room, like, operating overseas.
Right. Like, some weird, like whatever the poker things are. Like, where you're in, like, Aruba or whatever, and you're like gambling, like, Bitcoins in Aruba. Like, what the hell am I doing? Like, what is this? Like, why am I...
If you go to those lengths to gamble online, just go to fucking Vegas or Atlantic City.
But, like, that's what I mean. Like, there are certain, like, Vegas is fine. It's open season. Atlantic City, fine. Like, they're, like, bars in certain towns in this state, you're allowed to have a gambling issue, but not in this city or not in this. It's like, figure it out. Like, let's just have a countrywide stance on, hey, what do we think of gambling? Whatever. I don't know.
Is it pretty okay or adults can be adults? Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Yeah. To me, I've always been able to make that decision or the distinction that I don't really like gambling because I don't feel like wasting my money on it. So, but if you want to, I don't care. So yeah, like for my personal take is I'm releasing
you
that
think
they're
going
survive. I think they're going away, at least in this form or fashion. Or like you said, they'll be weird. I'm not counting if they're like doing Bitcoins and
Barbados or whatever. No.
That doesn't count. Like,
wouldn't hold that. There's been a long line of bad sports takes and shows we've done together. That would not be one of them.
Right, yeah. But that, it's stupid because I don't care. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm going to extend it, and here's why.
Okay.
Because I hope. I'm going to extend it on a hope, on a wing and a prayer, that at least in a few states, there will be legislation passed that allows them to operate because they are gambling. There's nothing around that. I mean, this article says, filed in Dallas County, the suit is asking the court to declare that daily fantasy sports are fully legal under Texas law because they are games of skill instead of chance or luck like traditional gambling. Except you don't say that in your ads.
Yeah, right.
You imply the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Just go on to daily fantasy sport. Go on to DraftKings and pick your team and you might win.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm extending it because I hope somewhere somebody will introduce.
Says, hey, just give us 10% and then cool. Do
whatever you want. And then you're legal here and then New York. And then if New York comes in and California comes in and maybe Illinois, not that these suits are going to win, not that these lawsuits are going to go through.
Right.
But that eventually some people will say, you know what? All right, listen, elected representatives, we collectively apparently really like to gamble in this very specific way because there are casinos in Illinois and in Indiana. They're not always packed. They're not packed to the gills. There's not lines out the door of people that just can't wait to gamble. But there were so many people playing DraftKings, FanDuel, etc. People enjoy gambling, and it is gambling. People enjoy doing it. And I hope that somewhere a few elected officials will get together and say, you know what, our people kind of like this. Why don't we give them the ability to do so?
Right.
And then tax it and make money.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just give us 10% and then knock yourself out. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. So
that seems like
I extend it, but okay. You know, I fully expect to look back on that and be like, yeah, that was a bad take.
No, I mean, it's smart if they would do that, but
right. We'll
see if they do. All right. Bernie Lincecum.
Oh, God.
Which you already know, he's like a 70-year-old white dude, right?
Yeah.
By the name Bernie Lincecum, right?
Just Bernie.
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 Well, we know, yeah, in this country. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Although Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's like, I've got this friend, you've got to meet Bernie.
Ah, okay.
And you go, oh, man, another 70-year-old white guy. But
right now you're all in on, like, that guy looks exactly like Bernie Sanders, right?
Right. And then they go, Bernie Mac. You're like, oh, awesome.
Come
black
on.
Guy. Yes.
Damn it. Mr. 3000 there.
That was great. Not a bad movie.
It really did on the grade.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty
tolerable baseball movie, Mr. 3000. I'll go with tolerable.
Yeah,
I saw it not that long ago. It's not as bad as I remember it, but it's not good. Is that fair?
Yeah, the big thing in the movie, because at least like in Major League, they won. They were playing. They tried to go to the playoffs, right?
They had
a one game playoff against the White Sox. Right, it was the Sox, wasn't it?
I forgot.
Was it the Yankees or was that Rookie of the Year? Oh, jeez.
I messed them up, yeah.
But anyway, so there was good bait. Like, they won something.
Yeah.
This was like, we could be third in the league by the end of the season. It's like, did we go to the playoffs? No. Although in this incarnation of the MLB,
second wild card.
Yeah.
Baby.
But it was just, and it was real in the sense that a team that has nothing to play for, can they rally around a common cause?
Yeah.
And it was actually a pragmatic sports movie because a team that sucks isn't going to somehow come together
around an
old guy who's trying to get the 3,000.
Like, no, you suck and we suck. Yeah, knock yourself out, man.
Right,
you're
the Brett
show,
Favre
yeah.
of baseball. Right, it's yeah. like, oh, shit, I don't have this to get into the Hall of Fame. Well, I guess I better suit him up for lace him up for another couple of years. All right.
Bernie Lincecum, Chicago Tribune columnist, has this hot take of all hot takes on the old three-point shot. He has also chimed in.
And just to everybody,
it's ruining
close your
the
eyes.
Game, God damn it!
Close your eyes.
Yeah,
guy named Bernie Lincecum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you already kind of know what he looks
yeah.
like. What do you think, pray tell, would be his take on Steph Curry and the 3-point shot in the modern NBA? Pro or for it or against it? Just have that little thought in your head, play that little game, and then this is his column.
So he does a bunch of dumb shit at the beginning of the column. I'm going to skip over all that crap and just get to the meat of it because he like waxes poetic about like 500-foot home runs and shit like that. Shut up, man. Get the hell out of here. I'm going to get to his main point here. The three-pointer has become as dull as the intentional walk, and any competent player in the NBA can make a three. That is false on many levels, but okay.
Yeah.
No, they can't, but... Because competency of like Andre Drummond is very competent. He averages like 25 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good at threes, or he doesn't take them, or he's
LeBron, very competent player.
Not very good at threes. Yeah,
John
Wall, good, not good at threes. Even short guys can not be good at threes too. But okay, but the guy who probably hasn't watched a fucking NBA game in 30 years is going to have this hot take about how everybody can make.
Yeah,
threes.
They had to poke him with a stick. To
yeah,
because
he watched
to write
the
SportsCenter
thing and saw something and saw some YouTube or not YouTube. Got a fucking VHS. Somebody popped in a VHS of Steph Curry or whatever. There is no special skill to it, which is a unique take of anybody who's ever played the game. John, let's go play basketball right now. Let's go find a local park. And I'm going to, because there's no special skill. So you're just going to make 80 out of 100, right? 90 out of 100, whatever.
Yeah, there's no special skill
fucking,
to it.
You know, you just throw it up there in the air a little bit and then it goes in.
I mean, it's like
no
beer
sort of
pong.
Rotation. There's no sort of way your feet are positioned. There's no sort of leg takeoff. There's no sort of elbow tightness in there. Mm-mm. There's no eyesight. There's nothing. It's just,
I can shoot them backwards, blindfolded.
Right. Fucking throw it in the air and it goes in.
Spin me on a bat beforehand. I'm good.
Some are better than others, just as some are taller than others or more agile than others.
Wait, some are better than others.
You just said that there's no
That's
skill.
That's a skill.
Being better at something.
That's what that is.
Bernie.
You're not better at being taller than somebody. You just are. There's no better than tall. Like, I'm better than your 5'6 because right. I'm whatever. I'm 6'4.
They do not get an extra reward for being so. So I don't know if he's now advocating for like a 5-point shot for Steph Curry. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Because earlier in the column, he says something about like, a 900-foot home run versus a 500-foot. Like, he's all over the place with this. But I don't know what that sentence is. We'll just strike it. He's a doddering old man, and he has no editor. So apparently they didn't want to.
Yeah, well, the Tribune's hurting for college.
Like, whatever, dude.
Right
just
now.
Whatever.
They're like, fill it. Let's whatever. Go. Let's fucking push.
This is nothing against those who do it well. The concern is how easy it has become and how it has altered the game.
It's how you're watching some of the best ever at it. It's not as though it's all of a sudden people have decided, oh, shit, you can hit this shot?
Yeah.
And by the way, they're not all corner threes.
No, they're good. Yeah, they're like 40 feet away. There's
right.
People are guarding. I know that's another sweet hot take from people that don't watch basketball is that.
Just guard him?
Yeah, that like he just walks up and they're like, well, in the hand check days, he wouldn't be able to do that. The Oklahoma City game that last Saturday, we talked about that on a previous show. The guy started guarding him like five, maybe 2 feet beyond the half court.
Uh-huh.
He decided, okay, I'm going to. It didn't matter because he took off from a step in front of the half court and made it. And it's like, fuck, like, what am I supposed to do? Because the thing is, and I know this is shocking to people, that if you guard him at half court, he's really fast and he's a good dribbler. So he'll run by you.
And that's the thing Lincecum misses in this article is because he says he's not good at like driving and dribbling.
He is.
Except he is.
He's very good at it. And then what would happen is when you blow by your defender because he's now guarding you at half court, which you're well on your right to do. You just can't hand check the guys like you could in, you know, the 80s or whatever, which the 80s, which by the way was the highest pace era and filled with tons of scoring and shooting and all that. But that we go, everybody defaults to like that every era of the NBA was like people clotheslining each other and fighting. And it wasn't.
But to be fair, Lambeer did like close. Line a few
yeah,
people
but it
in
didn't
undercover.
Matter. Like, yeah, that was like he.
But that was the bad boy.
Right.
Pistons,
and that was like a
6-year
period that people like really extrapolate to that. It's how the Celtics and Lakers, like in their prime when people were. That was beautiful basketball. Guys were sharing the ball, doing stuff. Yeah, those guys hated each other, but it wasn't like the Lambeer
Larry
shove.
Bird wasn't athletic. It wasn't like driving the lane and playing above the rim.
Shoving guys on the floor and being like, you can't get in here.
He was
this
talking
lane.
A massive amount
he's
of
like,
shit to
he was
him.
Like,
but
give me the ball, I'm going to shoot a 3 in your fucking face because I'm really good at it and you're not. But
and I will say that to you because I'm Larry Bird.
Yeah,
I'm
saying under my breath. And
douchebag.
And then Mike's got me. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Man. I'm just, game. But okay, so he's going to blow by. You're going to blow by that guy because you can still guard the guy. You can still guard space. You can still prevent that. Honestly, if you really want, if you know exactly where he's going to go because it's so easy, just take a charge at half court, right? Couldn't be that hard, right?
Yeah.
Apparently not. But so he blows by you. What you're going to do is, unless you want to give up an open layup, one of your guys is going to come help him. And then he's also got 3 really good shooters on his team that he'll pass it to and they'll make a 3.
Yep.
That's called a good team and good basketball. And they also move the ball around a ton. Watch a game. Watch a fucking Warriors game.
And watch when they fail. What happens when they fail? They turn the ball over a lot and their shooting goes just even lukewarm.
Yeah.
If their shooting goes lukewarm and they turn the ball over just a little bit with all their ball movement, they are in trouble. The Warriors are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, can you force that? I don't know. Can you can't really, can you force a team on cold shoot to shoot cold? I don't really think so. But what you can do is force turnovers. You can study their tape and get into the lane and do all that stuff. They are kind of beatable, maybe.
Yeah.
But
they run a great offense. And that's the other problem, too. That's people that it would be really nice and easy to say, oh, Steph Curry, who shoots a 3, we just stop that and it's over. But they got weapons and they're really good at ball movement. That's the thing. Like, I understand that people don't really watch the games that are just going, oh my God, because that's the story. Steph Curry has this many 3s and he's got this many points. Right. So people go with that being the narrative that's all the team does. Watch the ball movement. Watch what the centers do. Watch, like, there's so much going on. The guys never stop. That's the thing. They never, ever stop running. Where you will get eras of the NBA where it was the Allen Iverson era is a perfect one where they just dribble, and then they take a layup and it's contested or what. That era was boring, dumb. And this is not boring, dumb basketball. It's like the Spurs. It's the same thing with them. They're always moving the ball. They're always rotating. They're always, mm-hmm. that they're not slapping the floor, that you can't tell that they're...
And then getting run by when they
right. do. Right, yeah. Like, that, they're not doing that. People go, oh, no one's playing defense. They're playing space. The problem is Steph Curry operates in a mm-hmm. different spatial atmosphere than anybody else because he can shoot from half court and make it. Like, that's the problem, is it would be nice and easy if he just hit it from the corner, if he just hit it from the spot. Like, they have so much right. data at their hands. They know what they're doing. It's just not that easy to stop him because he's really good.
And here's what I saw. I saw this from somebody. I saw it secondhand, or I saw it firsthand, but it was secondhand knowledge. And I haven't substantiated it yet. But over the last couple of years, with the rise of the NBA 3, mm-hmm. right, and how easy it's become, according to old fucktards like Bernie right. Lincecum, their three-point field goal attempts have gone up generally across the league. Right. The three-point field goal percentage hasn't changed significantly. No. Overall, NBA teams are shooting about what they used to 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, they're just understanding that it's a better shot than their 18-footer. So right. instead, let's take a step back and see what happens. Instead of
So if you're doing something skill, if something is a skill, is the amount of times you do it independent of your ability to make it? You would think so, right?
Yeah.
If you have a skill and like, okay, I can hit 75% of this, you don't magically get better by doing it more. You would expect to do it 75% right. over and over again. So it is a skill, Bernie, buddy. I think we're both release on this. And just release Bernie Lincecum.
Release Bernie Lincecum, yeah.
Like, really, no. Chicago Tribune, please. Dude, let me die.
This is
a
terrible sports take, yeah.
Get rid of him. This is, I got to write something. What can I write? 3 points are bad. Okay, here we go. And what he was trying to do, I think, with that whole distance thing, is try to tie the value of 3 points to the distance. Like, he starts off the article with, like, the 3-point line was instituted for people that can't play the game, they can't play basketball, blah 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 blah, except that the game was occurring like only on a narrow tract of the NBA court without the 3-point line, right. because that's where everybody went with the ball. But now you put this out there and it spreads out the game and it makes it more fun to watch, et cetera. And
these humans are bigger than we're playing it. It's not, you know, 6'2"
Right, you know, white Jewish guys.
Right.
Right, and Irish and Polish.
And the game got gigantic. These men were just huge people that you had to spread the floor because it's just, there's...
And he tried to tie it to, like, distance. Like, oh, the three-pointer is worth 3 points because you shot it from farther away. Well, then, in other sports, if you throw an 80-yard touchdown pass, that isn't worth more. The thing is that what Bernie didn't understand is that these are game states. So when you make a shot from there in this game state right. behind this line, that's 3 points. Just like you can throw a touchdown pass or you can throw a pass into the end zone. It's the same act as shooting as a three-point shot. But it can be different. It can be worth 2 points, or it can be worth 6. And you still have thrown a pass into the end zone. Your home run, no matter how long it is, could be worth 1 run, 2 runs, 3 runs, or 4. It depends on the game state. The
right.
act is shooting the 3-pointer, throwing the touchdown pass, or hitting the 500 versus 300-foot home run. Bernie. But Bernie Lincecum won't let that get in the way of a good old angry curmudgeon-y white guy take. And this, again, damn it, white people.
There's a lot of dumb around the Steph Curry thing. We'll get to that here in a little bit, I believe. But
next topic, if we have, we got to take a timeout. We'll be right back. The KNP show extended release coming your way. We shall be right back.
KNP fans, be sure to head over to voicesofwrestling.com this week for an all-new episode of Shake Them Ropes. Each week, Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins bring you Shake Them Ropes, talking all things WWE and NXT. Rob and Jeff will talk all the latest news coming out of WWE, the news heading into NXT TakeOver, and get your thoughts on the build-up to WrestleMania 32. If you're into nostalgia, every week Rob and Jeff discuss a new match on the WWE.com list of the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network. We run through the greatest matches in the history of pro wrestling, and you can share your thoughts on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. In addition to our weekly episodes, after every WWE pay-per-view, we also go live on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, and you can follow along to a live video stream as Shake Them Ropes goes live after every WWE pay-per-view. So fans, do not miss all new episodes of Shake Them Ropes. Voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com.
Hey, Voices of Wrestling fans, this is John from the KMP Show, inviting you to check out all of the lustrous sports talk.
Beaver anus.
Funny sound drops.
Game used cork.
and nearly criminal hijinks at the newly minted member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, the KMP Show. Join me, John Playtech, and my co-host Rich Kraich for multiple episodes every single week. We'll talk sports, real sports. All right, maybe some fake sports too. As well as the hottest issues and takes gripping the sports world, you can check out the show as well as subscribe to the Audio Boom feed at kmpshow.com. That's kandpshow.com. The KMP Show at kmpshow.com, with takes as hot as smoldering garbage. Or is that the show?
For the best in pro wrestling coverage and commentary, look no further than Voices of Wrestling. Hi everybody, Rob McCarron here, and at Voices of Wrestling, we specialize in coverage of wrestling in the US and abroad. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling NOAH, Dragon Gate, Revolution Pro Wrestling, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and yes, WWE and NXT. We have it all. Reviews of every major show. Podcasts that cover it all, including the flagship Voices of Wrestling podcast hosted by Rich Kraich and Joe Lanza. You won't get opinion this diverse from anyone else. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Watch our live shows on YouTube. And check out our daily reviews. All of this and more at voicesofwrestling.com.
This segment of the KMP Show is brought to you by Beckett Media. Beckett Media is the most trusted source in sports and pop culture collectibles, and now, with this exclusive promo code, FAN10, you can take 10% off anything from the NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL. Guys, that's 10% off of anything site-wide. Free shipping on select items within the United States. Visit voicesofwrestling.com/Beckett today to save. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Beckett today to save. Welcome back, everybody, to the KMP Show. Impromptu break. We had a little scheduling thing. The studio's busy. And
people coming in and out. I mean, who the hell was that guy? I don't even know who that last guy was.
Yeah, Rich had to record a nice podcast that I got to listen to. It was really awesome. It was the Over and Back podcast.
The Over and Back podcast, going to be a podcast. They were doing 90s Week over at 100paroxysm.com, which is the site that hosts the Over and Back podcast. And we're focusing on the 90s. So it's written, audio, video, all stuff 90s related. So we basically did, over the past few weeks, we had basically asked all of our followers and listeners or whatever, send us your favorite memories of the 90s. We're going to talk about them. So that's what we did. We just kind of ran those down.
Ooh.
Earlier in the week, we did a 1995 year in review, which is a fun year in the NBA. Okay. So yeah, a lot of really good stuff there. And if you want to listen to it, hardwoodproxism.com is your place to go. Also, Over and Back NBA podcast on any podcast, whatever, is Downcast, iTunes,
wherever you find it.
Wherever you find and listen to and download your podcast, look for it there.
A really interesting Michael Jordan story that you probably haven't heard yet.
Yes, we found one of the rarest Michael Jordan stories you haven't heard, even though
they're all
so
out
much
there.
Yeah, everybody knows everything about Michael, but this is an interesting one that really isn't talked about all that much. So it's kind of
right. It's one that's almost as good as the shoot it, you fucking midget story.
Right. But this one is real.
But this one was real and probably and it's on camera. You can see it. And
oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
All its glory. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. So that's.
And if I just may, that the 1996, you guys were talking about Magic coming back, his brief comeback and the All-Star game and stuff. I watched I don't think it was the 30 for 30 on it. I want to say it was a different, different documentary, whatever. And they were talking about it and they kind of shed. Everybody, all the players that didn't want to play with Magic after he came out as HIV positive in a negative light. And it was like, these players didn't want to play with him.
Right.
In 1996, in America, if somebody has HIV.
Oh, the education wasn't quite there.
Well, I wouldn't want to play basketball with somebody now that was HIV positive. A physical game like basketball where you're sweating on each other. And here's the thing. I've always been taught it's exchange of bodily fluids.
No, it's not.
It's not. What the fuck, education?
that's what they were trying to say is that people just weren't. So the NBA went on a big campaign of like, hey, look, you're not going to get, if you exchange saliva or whatever, it's not going to, it's sexually transmitted.
It could be blood transfusion or blood transfer too.
But there's, I think they said there was a certain amount of like.
No, I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't. If somebody said like, well, yeah, if you're both like, I can get cut in the NBA, right? Yeah. Like, if you catch an elbow and if me and Magic, if he has a cut and I have a scrape and it's possible, right? Well, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. Well, then no. Because this is motherfucking HIV. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I guess, but it was.
no bigotry intended. We're to the point now where people are being shamed in modern society for not wanting to have sex with people that are HIV positive because it's like, oh, their viral load is so low that they blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no, well, I wouldn't want
to. I don't think I would. I'm
paranoid, though. I'm paranoid. That's how I suppose
so. Yeah, I don't. Well, unlike, I think what that documentary was trying to do light is that there was a lot of guys being like, man, I don't know if he sweats on me, I'm going to get it. And they're like, no, you're not going to. I think a lot of it was that these guys, they just didn't know. And that there was hysteria there. I think they were more or less, I don't know if they were shaming those guys, but more or less talking about the era of. That is when a lot of people had no idea what HIV was, what AIDS were. The education process was just insane. That was like, oh my God, don't get within 40 feet of somebody that's gay or else you're going to get AIDS. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
legitimately what that time was. It was like, gay America, we can't allow gay because they're transmitting it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that now I think there are still some obvious things that are still there with it, but there was hysteria at that point. They're just trying to mention that, you know, and he was getting tested every day and doing a bunch of different stuff. Like they went through all the due diligence to try to make sure. And there were still some people that just weren't educated or they were trying to also enlighten, like Karl Malone was one too, but he was just like, they just wanted to show he's like a big Southern hick. And he's like, oh man, I ain't gonna play with that guy. He gonna sweat on me out all day.
And you know what? I wouldn't blame somebody for being caught up in the hysteria at that time.
No, I get it.
Like that's all you know. Like,
I don't think they were shamed. I don't know if that was the intention.
Right.
That was supposed to do. I think they were mostly just talking about how that they were trying to sort of show that era. Was,
okay.
That's what was about. I don't think they're saying these idiots didn't know that that's not how it was or whatever. Whereas, cause there were a lot of people that had no idea how the hell we forget that we're in this, you know, we're 2016. We forget it was like 25 years ago where people like legitimately were like, I don't know.
It started out of nowhere. We didn't know what the fuck exactly. It was.
Like, how do we stop this? How is it transmitted? Oh my God, what's going on? And, it's going to take over the world.
And originally it was, it was primarily homosexuals and they had no idea why.
Right. Yeah.
And you in the, early AIDS started in 1980. There was a weird outbreak of some weird kind of carcinoma.
Yeah.
I believe it was. And they were like, there's a cluster of like four guys that have this incredibly rare blood disease that we don't know why.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, then bam, AIDS it was originally called GRIDS.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine, much less living in that time, being sexually active, but being,
I'm like three condoms in. Like just in case.
And if you're a gay man in that that time, and it's everybody you know, and there are people that have read stories like, yeah, I was 25 years old and my friends were getting sick and dying.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Well, it's also like celebrity we know too, like, you know, obviously like Freddie Mercury and people like that, where it's just like out of nowhere, they're like, oh, they're dead. Okay, what the hell? And they're like, well, he was gay. Like, what the hell? And like, just weird. Like, just, it was a very odd time. So no, I think there's the 30 for 30 about Magic. And then there's also the Dream Team documentary that was on NBA TV. So it could have been one of those two, but I know the part, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think it wasn't meant to be how dumb and, you know, how dumb and stupid. It was, but I think it was more supposed to say how dumb and stupid everybody was about it at that time.
Okay.
Nobody knew, like, is him breathing near me going to cause it? Is him like touching me going to, there was legitimate concern about that. I mean, that it was like, oh my God, ew, or like, yeah. And there's legit claims about the blood and that sort of stuff that is there. But yeah, there was a lot of people that,
you know, who
didn't
also doesn't like Magic Johnson, Donald Sterling.
No,
he's got AIDS.
That's why, because Donald Sterling, he didn't want his girl. He didn't want V Stiviano fucking around with, you know, even though he's now the leader of the ownership group of the LA Dodgers.
So there you go.
Good for him. All right. So when we left off, we were doing an extended release, an extended version of an extended release. And when we threw to break, we had just gotten done talking about Bernie Lincecum's really just bad take on Steph Curry, current state of the NBA game, and how skill translates to sports
and
goodness.
How threes don't really take skill.
They don't take skill, except some are better than others.
Right. Which is Bernie.
Your guy, I'm going to put him on you. This is your guy.
As a huge fan of the 1970s New York Knicks,
Your stash is whack. Your beard is weird.
For anybody that listens to Over and Back podcast, I am a staunch hater of the 1970s Knicks. I think they're incredibly overrated, so that'll be a fun little juxtaposition there for people.
Yeah, there we go. So. And you can check out the Over and Back NBA podcast and hear Rich be very angry about the 70s Knicks and how they're overrated.
They are.
I don't,
What are your stance? What is your hot? Move on.
You want hot takes?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, those sideburns.
What's your hottest Dave DeBuscher take? So.
Bush. Yeah, that's exactly where I went. Got him. What am I, 14? Your guy, Walt Clyde Frazier, had some interesting thoughts on Steph Curry. And why is there so
just
much?
Just a line, like a fucking. Look, every day, half this fucking run sheet is terrible takes on Steph Curry.
Exactly. Well, the other one is like they lose to sub 500 teams and they almost lost to the Orlando Magic the other night.
Right.
And it's kind of weird because I don't know why, but it's not really a take. Not doesn't really fit with extended release. But Walt Frazier had this to say during an interview with Mike Golic and Ryan Russillo and Danny Cannell on ESPN's Mike and Mike. And he was asked this question. How do you see the game? How do you see his, Steph Curry's game right now? And how would it translate? And who would you compare it to? Walt had this to say. Well, there's no comparison because of the three ball, man. Like the former players, I never had an opportunity for the three ball. I retired in 1980. That's when the three ball came in. So that's really the evolution of the game, where Curry, obviously, let's say you take away the three ball. If there was no three ball shot, would we be talking about the greatness of Curry today? What has made him great is his ability, uncanny ability, man.
Bingo.
To shoot from 30 feet, 35 feet, the accuracy that he has shown in making that particular shot. The question, the response was, so if you took away the three then, what kind of player would he be? Because I guess I'd argue that he'd probably make a lot of twos.
Right.
Not a bad argument.
No, absolutely.
I mean,
right.
He may be forced to play it a little bit differently because NBA coaches are going to be putting up with that for two. Like,
yeah, you're not taking like 35 footers for two. It's like, all right, man, reel it in. Like get a little closer to the basket.
Like,
man.
Yeah, but I'm like 3 for 9. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's not a very good, still. Yeah.
Clyde said, yeah, but it would be a little more difficult because now you got to use penetration. What the former players are saying, Oscar, all of us are saying, well, you can't hand check these guys anymore. As if that matters at 35 feet. Anyway, but now if you're looking for twos, you can be a little more physical than threes because threes, guys are just hanging out behind the arc. So Curry's not the only guy thriving down there. Harden is doing that. Thompson does it. There are a lot of others
on Curry's team and benefits greatly by, you know,
whatever. There are a lot of other guys that are also thriving on the three-point shot, but we're focusing on him because he's a champion, and it's just uncanny and remarkable. When the game is on the line, this guy's accuracy to come up with big shots. And the final question, I'll skip one, is that this is the question. Doesn't it seem weird that the theory is that 29 other NBA coaches can't figure out how to play defense on Curry? Because all I hear from former players saying, oh, you should do this, you should do that. So none of the players today and none of the coaches today can apply what you would have done if you had played against him in your era? Clyde said, well, they'll figure it out, man. If they are to stop these guys, to me, I look at the most phenomenal seasons in the NBA. Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 points per game. Nate Archibald led the league in scoring and assists. The Big O averaged a triple-double. But they didn't do that every year, you know what I mean? They never reached that pinnacle once they did that. To me, this is where Curry is. He's having that phenomenal season. To me, a signature season. But is he going to do this for the next 5 years? I don't really think so. So I don't know if he'll ever reach this level again. So this is what he's doing now. Maybe they won't be able to stop him this year, but they'll have to find a way to contain this guy like they've done Kobe, like they're doing LeBron, like they've done all the other superstars in the league.
He's going to age. I mean, that's...
Right. And also, is he going to do this for the next 5 years? How long has Steph Curry been setting and breaking his own single season three-point record?
It's been quite a while now. Yeah, I mean,
3 years.
It's been about 3 years. The last 2 years have been really remarkable.
Right,
him.
Super
so,
like good.
He can maybe go 2.5 or whatever, but yeah, in terms of like what he's been, and I guess to be fair, one of the points that I guess you could kind of make with this is that, and I guess that's what's the interesting sort of thing we're dealing with here is he talks about guys like Kobe, he talks about guys like LeBron. I just mentioned it. That you have guys who physically can't do what they used to. LeBron cannot drive the lane like he used to. He doesn't have the speed, the athleticism. You can make a reasonable argument that Steph Curry, of all those guys, has the chance to do this for 10 more years because what he's doing, and we've talked about it before on this very show, is that what's making him such a revelation is he's just a normal dude. There's nothing that special about Steph Curry, except for he's really good at practicing threes, really good at just repeating that shot constantly, and really good at just sort of having that confidence that I'm just going to take the shot and I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it well. So that's an interesting aspect of it, is that, you know, if you want to make a case, this maybe is a guy who's what he's doing is maybe less physically tied than any other superstar in, let's say, NBA
history. And their game, right?
Whereas every other guy has relied at some point on their athleticism, like Michael Jordan, who we talked about a little bit at the beginning of this. His first, you know, seven, eight years in the league was very much like a slashing, a really good, like, you know, driver, whatever. When he came back from his retirement from baseball, he had evolved his game. He was much more of a back-to-the-basket shooter, much more of a mid-range shooter, whatever. So we saw that sort of evolution of him. Mm-hmm. He was able to alter his game and change it. Some guys aren't very good at that. We're seeing right now Kobe Bryant has no clue what to do with this. But to be fair, though, Kobe did go through that transformation. He was a slasher and all over the place at the beginning. He sort of transitioned into a different sort of player.
And now he's transitioned to 2-for-14 in 4 minutes.
Yeah, now he's transitioned to bad and awful, and I'm just going to sit on the sidelines over here. LeBron is kind of getting there, but not quite.
He's still got it in between. For 31.
But Steph Curry can make a reasonable case that he could lose a lot of his athleticism and still maybe be able to do this. Mm-hmm. But I would argue again that people forget that he's such a good dribbler, such a good driver, and has such good passing ability too. I think that's the important thing too. Mm-hmm. If you double him, he's going to find the open guy. I mean, he just is so good at that. And his teammates around him are great as well. So as long as they have a team that buys into what Steve Kerr says, that buys into their system, that buys into Golden State, that he's going to still be doing quite well. So it's just,
Clyde's staying here. They will the NBA will figure out Steph Curry eventually. Yeah. You extend or releasing that notion?
I release that notion, but I also extend the idea that guys aren't good. You know, guys aren't good forever. There's a point where, and he's saying these guys have these pinnacle years, these peaks, and then they fall. But that's also just ages or whatever.
Right.
But you look at Steph Curry; he's still very, very young, and to be doing what he's doing at his age is remarkable as well. And like I said, he's not as tied to his physical attributes as many other stars. Of any sport, really, but particularly of the NBA, he's not as tied to that. So I don't know, but it's just interesting. Yeah, everybody going in and the hand check. Just shut up about the hand check. That's like the thing this week. So in 1993, they instituted a rule where you couldn't, because before you could just kind of put your hand on the point guard. So you're defending a guy.
Right, you could put your hand on him.
You could sort of use him as leverage. So people are saying, well, that allows you to stay closer, all that sort of stuff. You know, it allows you to defend
him
better.
You
kind of
put your body weight on him?
Sort of.
A little bit. Or feel where he's going.
But my argument is, you could bring that back right now. Go do that to Kevin Durant. He is driving by your ass in 2 seconds and dunking it. Do that to Russell Westbrook. Walk up to Russell Westbrook and say, I'm going to put my hand on you, sir, and you are not going anywhere because of this.
No, because I got you.
And he's going to, in one move, dribble past you and then throw it in the nuts of your opposing center's face.
Because these old guys, they make the hand check seem like it's some like karate move they're like, I'll hand check you and you will be incapacitated.
It was 1993, 1994. So there was plenty of guys that have operated without the hand check. And like it only recently, I mean, maybe it was probably 03, 04 where they really started instituting, okay, guys, let's really start enforcing this rule because referees would be kind of lax on depending the situation or whatever. But it's really been since 03, 04 that they've said, okay, you can't do it anymore. I mean, it wasn't the next day where everybody said, shit, we're just going to shoot a bunch of threes now. This is great. And then the NBA just never was the same again after that.
And never again.
And the other thing, too, that's interesting is all this sort of discrediting and talking about it. It's one of the things I hate about sports the most is everybody has to compare this era to that era, this guy to this guy or whatever. The Warriors can only work in the confines of what they're working in right now. You know what I mean?
Right. They can't go back and play Oscar Robertson.
Sorry. Yeah, they can't.
And
do
even
that.
Then, they'd only play him a couple times a year.
Right.
What do you want? There'd be maybe... What is it? What's the unbalanced schedule? What are in your division, in your conference, what are you going to play a team? 4 times?
It depends. Yeah, somewhere around there. I don't know the exact number.
So 6 times a year, you'd get Golden State versus the General.
Right.
Gray.
And it's just like, I mean, there was also eras where they took, you know, there was jump balls after every made basket. Like, you know what I mean? Like, things happen. Like, there's different rules, different conference. So this idea, because I think people get, And it applies to a lot of sports. People get sort of upset when you say, this is one of the greatest ever, because they immediately go, well, I think this is the greatest ever, and you're now discrediting what I loved as a child. We get it a lot with, I had an argument with, and I'm sure you've heard this a lot, you know, obviously living in Chicago, is the idea that the Warriors are going for the Bulls record. People are upset about that. Oh, well, I don't want them to break the Bulls record.
Yeah, I've had to fight that tribalism bit myself. I've had to fight it in myself. I see myself like, oh, I hope they lose. Like, wait, why do I hope that? Because... they're going to win some record, and I'll tell you what it is.
They're never going to take away that memory that you had.
Right. No, I'll tell you what it is. Because I know everybody's then going to ask, are these Warriors better than those Bulls?
Right.
Like, if they played each other, that means that they would be better.
Which is good for clicks. And the other thing, too, is like people are sort of are probably going nuts by this because, and the websites are playing this to effect. I don't blame them.
Right.
I mean, Bleach Report every day has an article. Let's compare the Bulls.
Thank you for listening to this. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to this KMP Show podcast entitled.
Yeah.
Would the 15-16 Golden State Warriors beat any version of the champion Chicago Bulls?
So there you go.
But, or the 72-win team Chicago Bulls.
It's just, so. I don't, it's very interesting. But yeah, the discrediting of it, it's just, you have to work within the confines of what you have and the era and that sort of, that's why I just get really, I've sort of distanced myself from any, like, is Calvin Johnson better than Lynn Swann? It's like, I don't know. Like, they played 40 years apart. I don't know.
Did people
just
do this
with LeBron?
Enjoy
Calvin Johnson. You know, just enjoy.
Yeah.
We actually looked at, it's kind of funny. It happens all the time because we looked at SI, Sports Illustrated has the SI.com/vault, mm-hmm. which is their vault where you can search all of their issues, like their entire back catalog, which is incredible for doing research, like for what we do for Over and Back and a bunch of other stuff. And people found a bunch of articles in 95, 96 that were talking about the Bulls ruining the game of basketball and how things, because they were the inverse. They were slowing it down too much. They weren't playing fast enough. And
Bird
Magic was beautiful basketball. And now the Bulls played the slogging version of basketball. And now we have, oh my God, they're just running around like idiots. Slow it down. Like, let's go. Like, so it's, you know, it's just funny. It just goes in these cycles. So it's apparently every 15 years, people just get really pissed off about everything. And let's move on. So
I'm going to release Clyde's comments because I think Steph's abilities will eventually atrophy, but that won't be due to outside. You're not going to discover some magic defense.
No, people know.
Or some magic rotation. That,
the other day, somebody mentioned something to, I forgot which NBA coach it was, and they went, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we have no idea what to do. We're just completely dumbfounded. Thank you for your advice on how to guard Steph Curry. Like, they know what to do. It's just
right.
The guy takes off in 40 feet.
And there's nothing you can do about that.
So you front him, he runs by you, and then he throws it to Klay Thompson, who also hits 40% of his threes. You're dead. Or he passes it to Draymond Green, or he passes it to Andre Iguodala, who's cutting or whatever. Or you let him take a 30-footer. Oh, wait, he makes it from half court. So you can guard him at the line. He's going to make it from half court. You can guard him at the line or at the half court line. He's going to drive past you. They have other players that can handle the ball on the team. I mean, it's just not like they understand. There's player tracking. They know where he goes. They know what he does. It's just that's. I mean,
he's just that good.
Players are good. Good players are hard to guard.
Bernie Lincecum has spoken.
All right. All right. I got this one for you here.
All right.
I got this one for you here because I know we're going to get to your boy, your guy. Your guy's coming up here.
This is my guy.
All right. Extend a release.
All right.
Buster Posey, spring training is too long. This comes from the Score app, which is a very fantastic app for your phones. For sports news, add Buster Posey to the list of players unhappy with the duration of spring training. You could definitely shorten it, Posey told the San Francisco Chronicle. It doesn't really make sense. We're trying to be in the best shape possible for opening day. Bruce Bochy does a good job of taking care of us, but it's been going on for years. The San Francisco Giants will play 35 exhibition games in 32 days this year, which equates to a fifth of the regular season. Additionally, pitchers and catchers reported earlier than the positional counterparts extending spring training or expanding training camp to 6 weeks for those players. So do you extend or release Buster Posey's thoughts that spring training is too long?
I extend the hell out of that because it's totally true. It's totally
yeah,
true.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I love spring training, but it is.
And I do. And I love it because baseball gets me baseball sooner.
Yeah.
And I get the crack of that bat and I get the sound and the auditory, the sensory input that we've talked about on this show. The thing is, I don't know what you really do about it. You start later. Of course, I mean, I guess that would be the option. Yeah. You start later. You cut it down to, I don't know, 2.5 weeks. Maybe you get some games on there. You could do a national broadcast every single day of, you know, spring training games to get people primed for the season. I extend the hell out of it, but I think the big problem is the regular season is just too damn long.
That too. I think that adds to it. I think my thing on the spring training, and I've mentioned this you know a lot recently. I don't know if we mentioned it on the show yet, but the idea of spring training when it began and what it was formed was these guys in the off season would go and work at their dad's auto shop or whatever, the coal mines.
Right, I mean? And like, they'd post up at a bar every day.
Just get slobbery drunk every minute of the day. And they would say, all right, well, it's April. I
got to detox a little bit.
And then they come into camp and they're 20 pounds overweight. They're sweating bourbon. Like, you know. And
Pablo Sandoval does do that.
Well, yeah, he probably needs to. He's one of the outliers now. But whereas these guys now, I mean, you think Buster Posey spent 2 weeks not swinging a baseball.
No.
A baseball bat.
No.
You think he didn't go to his personal cage or a training facility that's down the block from him? Or I mean, these guys are always
working. They all live in
out.
Florida. They all live in Arizona. Right. And they're always playing baseball, training.
They don't take a minute
working
off.
Out.
Yeah. They might take some time off, which would probably be better for them if they took this time off and sort of went back to, you know, sort of chilling out. But yeah, nobody wants to do that anymore. Nobody, because that's the idea that I'm being lazy. That guy is going to do, you know, player X is training every day and I'm sitting here on my ass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be better than me or I want to make more money. I mean, hell, if I'm good, I make more money. My family's good forever. That I get that idea or whatever. Whereas, you know, in the old days of spring training, it wasn't that. So I get that. But the problem is now, to Posey's point, I don't know if you're going to be able to sell it to, you know, Arizona and Florida. Hey, by the way, you know, all this economy that you guys were getting for like the extra month, we're going to take it out of here. So yeah, you guys don't mind, right? That like all these facilities you built for us, we're just not going to use that much.
Yeah. A lot of them publicly funded. Right, yeah. And
thank you. But,
yeah, we got to go. Yeah,
we're going to go in our other publicly funded stadiums.
Yeah.
In other cities and go
that are much bigger
those.
And people pay more money to
right.
come see.
So see ya. But yeah, it I mean, I guess it's good. It's good for evaluating your young players and stuff like that. But
right.
I think you can get it done in 3 weeks if you really, you know what I mean? Like,
right. And here's the other thing though. If you're Buster Posey, what are you really doing in spring training?
I think maybe that's an
option. Are you playing a lot?
Not really.
I mean, if you're a smart manager, what do? You put him out there for like every other day, maybe.
Right.
Like, all right. And then the rest of the time, you just, you know, you send your younger pitchers out, guys you may want to see this year or next. And you say, all right, here's the closest thing we can do to approximating MLB work without starting your service time clock or sacrificing a roster spot for you. So go out here, face MLB caliber talent, work on your slider, your curveball, your breaking ball, your, you know, changing eye level, working it out, work on all that. That's what it's used for. You don't really see a lot of guys playing all the time.
Yeah, and that's to his point that I guess it is. I'll extend his point that it is too long. But I'll release the idea that, like, it's that big of a deal, if that makes sense. Like,
okay, yeah.
Just show up to Arizona, chill out, eat some sunflower seeds.
Right, because you're not
doing much. Like, it's cool, man. Like, play your few innings, get your swings in and go, yeah, I'm good for the year. You know, but Bruce, don't play me the rest of the spring. I'm good. I'm fine. Like, and we've seen in our town, we've seen the White Sox do that with Chris Sale. There's been multiple spring trainings. They said, you know, buddy, don't
just chill out.
It. Just you're good. You're still
well,
good.
Well, there was that
good.
Other season where he hurt his foot off of the back of his truck,
and then nobody mentioned a thing, and they never brought it up again, and it was never a problem the rest of the year. But yeah, he was hurt for spring training, and then jumped right in and was fine the rest of the year. I mean, yeah. So that's and this year it was like, oh, we're gonna do it for, you know, general soreness or whatever the hell it was, and it didn't. I mean, whatever. So I think maybe
and
that's
kernel crippling pain and
yeah, exactly. So maybe that's the alternative is just play the guys. Or, I mean, maybe just be.
You should be playing them less.
Be honest with your manager. Look, dude, I'm good. I've been training all summer or all winter. I don't need it, man.
And do they do that stupid dorm living thing there? Are they living in dorms?
I don't know if they are. Yeah.
Don't put millionaires in dorms.
No.
Put up some luxury hotels. Put them in there. It's like a long road trip.
I don't know what they do. I don't think they live in dorms, but I think they might live in like apartment complexes or something like that. I don't know what it is.
That's not too bad.
That's not bad, but...
Yeah, it should be a party. It should be a party for your MLB regulars, your starters. You know they're good. You know where they're going. You know where they're slated to go.
Right, and an evaluation point for all those other.
And then let the fans, the diehard fans that go out, you know, you go to
they
Mesa to see the Sox. Right, let them do autographs, and then you see the top prospects. For the White Sox, not so many, but, you know, other teams in the league, like, hey, you want to see, like, I was watching the Dodgers game, and they put in their top prospects.
Corey Seager.
Corey Seager and who's the number two, the pitcher? De La...
Oh, I'm blanking on his name, but I know who you're...
Yeah, they brought him in. The kid. Kid's going to be good, by the way. He's got his his fastball looks like a laser beam. He's got an awesome breaking ball.
Dodgers are going to be fun. Yeah, they got a...
And they got a lot of young talent. They're going to be
nice
really
balance
good.
Of, like, we're a good team normally, and we also have young talent.
Yeah, so...
Confluence there, but...
So I'll extend that it's too long, maybe in the if you're playing every day, sure, but give me baseball sooner. All right, I want baseball sooner, and you know, a couple of years global warming, sure, shorten it the other way so that you can get the season in, so that we're not playing MLB playoff baseball in November when it's 28 degrees out and there's freezing rain falling on guys trying to play a summer sport.
I think that's my bigger gripe than spring training is that, yeah, like the game completely, like when the postseason goes on, the game is nothing like it was the rest of the season because these guys are, it's snowing, it's raining,
it's
wearing hoodies, like they can't even see through their eyes because they have like a long, you know, and that's the thing that annoys me more than anything is that like this game is played under this, well, it's weird. And that's, I guess that's the beauty and the curse of baseball. The first like few weeks of the season is played under those weird conditions and everybody sucks and they're all like, oh, I'm freezing cold or whatever. And then, like, the rest of the season is played under these conditions, and then the playoffs are played under... It's just a really weird...
Right. The thing every team says during those first couple... That first month of the season is what it's about. It's like, wait till it warms up.
Right.
Wait till it warms up.
We suck now, but we way better when it warms.
And we really don't want to play right now because it's really cold, and we don't care if we suck.
Horrible cold. Like,
yeah.
We had a fall softball league that I was in.
Ooh.
That, yeah, never again. That we got a bunch of games canceled.
12 or 16?
12.
Okay.
I don't do 16. I got fingers. I got to type for the rest of my life. I ain't doing 16. Yeah,
broken fingers?
Well, and then like my dad's always gives me shit. He's like, that's pussy softball. And I'm like, yeah, look at your fingers, dad. They're all like mangled and he can't like, he's like, I got horrible arthritis and I can't type. I'm like, yeah, you're an idiot. Like, why are you not catching it with a glove? Like, what are you doing? They give you gloves.
Yeah.
Just use the glove. Like, why are you using your bare hands? But yeah, so it's 12. So we had so many games canceled throughout the year. So we're playing games on Thanksgiving. Like, it was supposed to get scheduled. We were supposed to have a game on Thanksgiving. Of course, we played Thursday, so they said, oh, but no, we'll do it the next week after. So this is December.
Oh.
Now we're playing Fall League. So our championships were, like, December 12th or something like that, or something ridiculous.
So like gearing up for Christmas.
Like, way too
Christmas
late.
There
was Christmas lights, and we're playing softball. And it was, like, I think it was something like 15 degrees out, which you're not supposed to use a metal bat, first off, because it can explode. I let off that game. The first swing I took, I basically just wanted to walk into my car and say, I'm done here. Because I took a swing, and the bat has no give, because it's frozen.
Right.
It's metal. So it's like, ding! I'm like, fuck! Like
my hands that hurts so bad.
And like nobody wanted to catch the ball. The outfielders couldn't move because they're wearing like snow pants or whatever. It's just like, what are we doing here? And like we ended up losing. Like, we stopped caring. Like, I just let balls go by. I was like, I'm done. I don't want to. Because if we won that game, we had to play another game later in the night. And I was like, right. I'm done. I don't want to do this or whatever. But yeah, it's just.
Well, that happened to the Phillies Rays World Series.
Yeah, yeah. It got snowed out, right?
Yeah. They were like, well, we hope that they can get this game in the freezing rain because it's supposed to snow for like a couple days. And then the playoffs might go into Thanksgiving and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So shorten the regular season by 3 weeks and shorten spring training by a week. And then boom, you got an extra month and you're back into October baseball, which is probably like early to mid-October is probably the perfect time for playoff baseball.
The problem you're going to run into is, again, the revenue thing. Like you said, it's going to be hard as hell to say, hey, let's make less revenue. So maybe you do double headers, but then teams don't want double headers either because that's also a loss.
Give them a couple extra roster spots. Oh, well, I was thinking tax on the players, but no, double headers are lost revenue because not as many people show up, I'm guessing, for the double header.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know.
Buster Posey, you make a good point.
But
my want for baseball early in the year is
shut up, Buster.
So, shut up.
Whose name is Buster?
Go swim in your pile of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitch. Good looking douche.
He's another one, too.
Yeah, good looking, rich, and good.
Yeah.
Damn it. KANDPshow.com. KANDPshow.com for the audio boom feed at KANDPshow and at John's Voices. Send us your good looking, good, and rich, that trifecta of sports stars. Doesn't have to be limited to men's sports, it can be women's sports too.
Absolutely.
Not Danica Patrick, because not good. That's not.
No, she's really bad. So that
was she's good at blaming other people for her suckage, though. Blaming her pit crew or her.
Oh, yeah. She's top notch at that.
Or her teammates or everybody else in the field. And I would say Rebecca Lobo, but nobody gets in on that. Nobody shows love for Rebecca Lobo. Damn it.
Sorry.
All right. Well, as we wrap up the KMP show here, this extended release.
Oh, I thought you were going to. Oh, I looked down and you were. Okay.
Our favorite orange friend, the Oompa Loompa grandfather, Mike Ditka, has been let go from his primary duties at ESPN. He will no longer be featured on the desk for Monday Night Countdown nor NFL Sunday Live, whatever it is they do. Mike Ditker will be off your ESPN television screens. This is the quote from Mike Florio. on NBC Sports, the changes are continuing for ESPN's primary NFL studio shows. According to Jason McIntyre of TheBigLead.com, Mike Ditka is out and Matthew Hasselbeck is in at Sunday NFL Countdown.
Yeah.
Hasselbeck joins the recently retired Charles Woodson at the big desk. Woodson replaces Keyshawn Johnson. Aww. Hasselbeck said he wanted to play another season, but the Colts released him and apparently no other viable offers to play emerged. Or perhaps he declined to slide into a choice seat while the choice seat was available.
Right.
How pathetic is that? Like, no, I'm good. Like, you're going to retire. I'm like, no, I'm good. Well, you're going to have to find another team. McIntyre reports that Ditka isn't leaving ESPN. Instead, he'll have an emeritus type NFL role at ESPN.
That means nothing.
It on. If he's not too drunk at 3 o'clock to record his spot, they'll bring him on. And so are you extending or releasing ESPN getting rid of Mike Dicker?
Extending. Thank God I don't have to hear him anymore. Ugh.
You mean the gobbledygook of sounds that come out of his mouth?
Like him and Lou Holtz. Like this. Okay, ESPN. You have anybody you want.
Yeah.
Any athlete anywhere.
Anybody.
Anybody with a mic. Anybody that wants to talk about sports anywhere.
You brought Keith Olbermann back.
Right.
He came back.
You can call anybody and say, "Do you want a job with ESPN?"
Mm-hmm.
And they will probably, unless they've been fired by you before and hate you, which is many.
Yeah, but Olbermann came back.
But they all come back. They always come back, though, because they're like,
because ESPN's like, yeah, but how about this money?
And yeah, they're like, all right, fine. I hate you guys, and I sued you, but now, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody. You can have anybody, and you choose Mike that goes like,
come over here. He's like that.
That's who you choose.
Probably gook.
You don't need Mike Dicka. You don't need Lou Holtz. You don't need these blibbering. Sunday NFL Countdown is one of the worst. This I am already looking forward to it because I avoid it like the plague.
Yes, the last line of this article.
Keyshawn Johnson, God, Berman, Ditka,
Jackson.
Like, oh my God! You just hear like it's in the other room, and you just hear like these audible noises, and you're like, "What in the world is going on in that room?" Like, if you walk away from that, if you turn on ESPN at like 10:55 or whatever, I think it comes on at like 11 or whatever, on at 10 or whatever. If you turn, ESPN on a few minutes before it's the end of SportsCenter or whatever, and then you walk into the other room. When NFL Countdown goes on, you're going to have no idea what it's going to be. Because it's like, Burma's like, and then like, Dicka's
like,
it's like, what is going on in that room? Like, what noises are these men making? It's just like, oh, it's the worst.
They are not very good at their job.
No, but Hasselbeck should be good. And hopefully
Woodson
here. Berman and Tom Jackson will be departing as well.
Right, so. And Mike Florio signs off his article. More changes are expected as soon as next year. There's persistent chatter in industry circles that Chris Berman and Tom Jackson could be gone after 2016. Those are the two headliners at this point.
Yeah.
And they're going to get it gone. Goodbye. Yeah. And you know what? It's about 5 years too late, really, for Berman.
Berman's so bad. About 15 years too late on Berman for me, but.
Yeah, the I mean, that's just.
There was a charm to that in like 1996. That's now been like he's a very 90s. Like I think Berman, as we were talking about, you know, the over and back the 90s weekend. He's a period piece of the 90s. You know what I mean? Like sports in the 90s, you kind of think of like a Chris Berman, the back. But like 2000s, he's already kind of long in the tooth. 2010s, what the fuck are we still doing with Chris Berman? As like rambling, stambling, boop, 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 and like guys are breaking. It's like, shut the hell up. Like what are the noises? Noises?
They had Mike Ditka trying to recite play by play from highlights. He was doing highlights. You think Terry Bradshaw is bad?
Ugh.
And even then, they do that just to make fun of him.
Look at how dumb
they've got Terry Bradshaw is. Right, that's got to be.
And he knows it too. Terry Bradshaw's played that up.
Ditka doesn't know.
He's not in the show.
You see this guy over here? He scores. He's got the names wrong, and he doesn't know who's doing what.
In general, man, the intelligent level of like NFL studio. I don't watch it. Do you watch NFL Network ever?
Not as much as I should.
I've heard it's better. I always watch whatever the channel that the game is going to be on.
Yeah,
because Fox is just a.
Band.
Like, let's have Frank Caliendo do something that's not that funny. And like, speaking of a period piece of like the 2000s, Frank Caliendo. Like,
yeah, remember he did John Madden and you really thought that was funny on Madden TV. No, we're gonna
drive that to fucking death now. But so that Fox is like, it has its charm, but it's kind of weird. And then like CBS, I guess it's gotten better. It was pretty bad there for a while when you just had leaky, like, NFL quarterbacks with their leaky ears and leaky brains. Or just...
Yeah, but now you got, who's that guy on CBS that had his tin of dip during a break? That he was on the thing. It was the guy with the bald guy with the lisp. He was the coach. He coached the Steelers.
It's not Cowher. It's Bill Cowher?
Yeah, it's Bill Cowher.
He's not bald, is he?
Balding.
Balding.
Yeah, baldish.
We're all balding.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Not necessarily, but.
But yeah, Cowher had a, they came back from a break. Cowher had a tin of Skull right on the fucking desk.
Dude, you're like, doing commentary. You don't need the.
What are you doing? No, but I think the NFL Network has Rich Eisen.
Yeah, yeah, and I like Eisen. He's always
Eisen's good,
solid.
Quick with a dick joke, yeah. As we've learned.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good for you. If that's the route you want to go. So I will extend Mike Ditka.
Oh, extend all the way.
But and he just signed a 2-year contract extension too.
Well,
that's the emeritus type thing where they're just like, yeah. Go away.
Well, what happened was, and it's not mentioned in this story, but so ESPN had a directive a few weeks ago that said, okay, this political thing is getting out of control. Everybody can't wait to fall over themselves to like endorse this candidate or this candidate. We're in the sports business. Let's just chill out on like anybody doing this. And as I told you off air, baseball season's coming up and there's like Kurt Schilling, just shut the fuck up. Just
please
don't
stop.
Post something stupid about Facebook, something about Nazis. Kurt, just shut up. Just don't do anything.
And he couldn't do it.
And Ditka did a radio interview where he said something about, you know, Obama is not a good leader or whatever. So that started a firestorm of people saying, oh, conservatism is being censored at ESPN. It's fitting that I guess it was something about Obama. So now a lot of these people can go, oh, my God, look, so mm-hmm. you have a non-liberal thought. ESPN is going to fire you. When in general, they're just saying,
it's just don't
nobody
do
have
it
any political
did.
Thoughts. Stop. Just shut up. Just tell your friends if you want. Don't do it on the air. Don't do it. We just don't want to get involved in that because it's just going to start a firestorm and Deadspin's going to be all over us if you
right,
do that.
We are already in deep enough shit because Aaron Andrews said in court, it's a matter of public record, that we made her do an interview about her
right,
her
so,
peephole video to prove that it wasn't a sham.
So let's please just chill.
Please don't say anything about Trump or Hillary or Bernie.
Let's just talk about sports. Sports are cool. Let's just
sports
do that.
Are cool. Let's just do
let's
that.
Let's just do sports. But no, many people at ESPN can't help themselves because...
Well, because they're all, they just want to be, they want to be the personality.
Well,
they
you
be,
hire, and I think one of the interesting things about ESPN in general, too, is they don't hire, like, second-rate athletes. You know, they don't hire the athlete that was not that good, but really smart or whatever. They'll do that for some sports. Like mm-hmm. basketball, they'll do a few of those guys. Like, even like college basketball, they do a really good job of just grabbing those. But, like, the NFL coverage is always, like, the best guy, this former MVP, this champion, this coach, mm-hmm. that sort of guy. And these guys are used to being the center of attention, the big deal. Everybody listens to them, that sort of stuff. So they're always going to have this. It also helps that they're all like 50-year-old white people as well. Which
yeah, but up. They had Ray Lewis is on ESPN's.
Right, and he murdered somebody. So, I mean, there you go.
Well, at the very least, he helped dispose of the evidence and watched it happen.
No, stop.
Yeah, he definitely did it.
Marvin Harrison.
Also you know, pretty soon they're going to have him on. Probably, Marvin
oh,
Harrison.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're
they can continue to do the jacked up segment and then at the same time the report on concussion issues.
Yeah. Look at this guy getting killed.
Junior Seau killed himself. All right, let's watch these highlights. The guy's getting destroyed. Yeah.
And he shot himself in the chest specifically so that his brain could be donated right. to concussion research and CTE research.
Now let's watch these guys' brains bounce again. Oh, football.
Yeah, well.
No Mike Ditka, though. That'll make... Yeah, no Mike Ditka and no Keyshawn.
Hopefully
Johnson.
After 2016, no more Berman or Jackson yeah. either, which would be probably, it would make ESPN a lot more watchable.
Yeah, exactly. Because
assuming they fill it with the right guys. I don't
yeah,
know,
I was going to say, they could probably find someone dumber than
they're going to go back in time and get bad Tiki Barber to do when Tiki was like.
Poor Tiki, man. They're like, you're a great face. You're a handsome man. You got a great smile. Get on that mic and talk. And he's like, I got nothing to say.
And
damn
then,
it.
And Rondé's tremendous.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good. Rondé, the worst brother at football.
Yeah. But Rondé had a much larger career than Tiki, though. So
yeah, because Tiki retired early to do
yeah,
this.
Right.
And then sucked. And Rondé's like, I'm going to play longer and then be yeah. better at this than you. So,
and you played the worst position to play because you get your ass kicked all the time, whereas I tackle people and I kick. Like,
yeah. Well, good. Good for play. You, Rondé Barber.
Yeah, Rondé.
Long and short of the KMP show, we end up with good for you, Rondé Barber.
Good for you, Rondé Barber. Yeah.
You're better than Tiki.
If we do that as the title, I don't think we're going to get as many clicks as if we said the Bulls Warriors one. So
yeah, would the Bulls be better than
maybe
the
get a retweet from Rondé Barber, though. Pros, cons. So
how many Twitter
Let's
followers
find out.
Does he have? Rondé Barber. Is he
see
on
what, see what his account looks like too?
Is he on Twitter? There's Tiki. Mm-mm. I don't see Rondé.
Tiki is Got demo reels.
Oh, no, I misspelled Ronde. I spelled it with an A. I'm an idiot. That's bad. No, that's not that Ronde Barber. No, Ronde Barber, not on Twitter.
Well, forget that.
If we come down on Tiki's side, he's got 19,000.
Okay. That's not a lot for Tiki Barber.
Yeah, you're Tiki goddamn Barber.
Don't you have more than?
Yeah, I've got 23,000.
Come on, Tiki.
Yeah.
And no offense, but I mean.
Yeah.
He played in New York in the NFL.
Yeah, I was a mid-level at best YouTuber.
He was like
gaming YouTuber. There's 20,000 of us.
Yeah.
Not like I was a makeup or vlogger. I was a gaming douchebag. Pretty bad
at
that,
too. You got that right.
Yeah, the douchebag part
you got right.
Yeah, you got that right.
I don't know anything about the gaming, but I know.
Oh, God, that's the wrong one. Fuck. Grand opening, grand closing. Show prick. I mishit and I got the AIDS one.
That's fine.
That's totally out of context. It made no sense. I didn't mean to say that Tiki Barber has AIDS. He's got a nice picture of his family up here.
Yeah.
You know, they're all in blue jeans and a few of them want to say adopted. They look into, I don't know. Maybe it's just.
Let's see here. It's because the monitor move or do I have to move? I'll move.
Yeah, you got to move. I'll swing the microphone around here to you. We're going to do live reaction. Tiki Barber's family photo, his Twitter header. I was thinking this guy over here. Looked a little like, because you can't see Tiki's face, but you can see what looks to be his eldest son. Looks kind of adopted, doesn't he?
I'm gonna go with no, okay. Based off the nasal structure of the other children.
Wait, what are you trying to say about their nasal structure?
No, I'm just saying they
have
similar noses.
No, all right. I don't know.
And the rompers, man.
Sorry, Tiki.
We're rompers.
Yeah, we're definitely not getting that retweet from Tiki, though.
No, sorry.
Tiki. But take your 19,000 followers and shove it. Step up your game, Tiki. You got to start pimping your Twitter out more when you're on television.
See, he co-founded some like fledgling business. Oh, he's with Brandon Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, God.
I'm BT. Wow, Brian Tierney and a guy who has nothing to say and doesn't know how to say it. What bad goddamn radio.
That's their tagline. One guy's got nothing to say. The other has no idea how to say it. The Tiki and Tierney Show.
Oh, that's a catchy-ass title.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, come on, CBS Radio.
You guys are terrible. Just come.
Come on. We could do a show. National. Weekend. We don't need big time.
We'll do 2 a.m.
2 a.m. We can do swear-free shows. We cannot curse, maybe.
We're going to get some FCC violations to start off.
But. Well, that's why you give us a good producer. That's what we need. We need a good guy in the booth who's quick on the dump button.
Yeah, then we'll be good.
Yeah, we're going to be, you know, most delays, like what, 45 seconds?
I think so.
A minute? We're going to need about 2.5. We'll start at 2.5.
And nobody, what FCC guy staying up till 2 a.m. to listen to?
Yeah.
You have to self-report that, right? I don't know.
No, I think, yeah.
Maybe. Is it just a mutant that listens to every single radio station?
I don't know. Maybe you do have to self-report. Maybe it's like the NCAA where it's like, oh, self-imposed postseason ban because please don't take away our football or basketball team for 3+ years.
Okay.
All right. Well, this has been a great episode of the KNP show.
That's debatable.
Yeah, well, they're all debatable.
No, that was.
You can check out the show at the KNP at KNPshow.com. That's KANDPshow.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at KANDPshow. You can follow me on Twitter at John's Voices. Follow Rich and his wrestling stuff at Voices Wrestling, as well as the Over and Back NBA podcast.
Yes.
And HardwoodParoxysm.com is where you can go to find that. Also, just search the Over and Back NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to search the KNP show wherever you get your podcasts. We thank you all for sharing the show, helping the show grow.
We got a lot of reviews. I'm excited by the amount of reviews we have. And
oh, yeah.
Most everybody gives us really good.
Yeah, there's that one guy.
One guy said you were racist, but.
Thought he was being funny. I'm kind of racist. A little bit.
Give us 4 stars if you're going to do that at least.
Yeah.
Just trying to be funny, you know, throw the 5-star on there and then, you know.
Yeah, and then say whatever you want.
Right, yeah. Knock yourself out.
5 stars gets you.
Yeah,
you
know, I just want the freaking stars.
Yeah, that's all I want. That's all I want is a star. So go to search the KNP show on the iTunes store and throw us all the stars you can, as well as ratings and reviews. For Rich Craich, Beaver Anus, I'm John Playtech.
You want that cork? Here it is.
Gotta do it again.
And go the other way.
This has been the KNP Show, episode number 12. We thank you guys for joining. We will catch you next time. We are out. Bye.